Mondays and Fridays, we feel obligated to solve the problems of the world. We touch on all subject matter. It's with Brother Johnny, member of the National Academy of Sciences, adjunct professor, University of Illinois, and the head of VersaBar, who, of course, won the engineering award for the year in popular science. You can check it out in December's issue. He's in Houston. Hey, Johnny.
TVJ. Stevie.
Mike Ditka in the warmth of Naples, Florida. Mike, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. We saw some terrific football yesterday. Let's begin with Baltimore and New England. And I tell you, Johnny, that was a heck of a ball game.
Well, it was. I'll tell you that you are right. And, you know, it came down to I guess Cundiff missed a field goal. And he played for the Saints a little while. But he had a shot, Mike. Billy Cundiff is the guy. When we played the Bears in the NFC Championship, the Saints were down 16-14, and Sean thought Billy was gonna kick a 52-yard field goal into the wind. I think the windshield was -5, and the ball went about 20 yards to the left, and three of Billy's toes flew off to the right about 10 yards. And anyway, we got beat pretty bad. But no, I thought that was a great game. But what are you gonna do? Your field goal kicker, I think he went to the Pro Bowl last year, Mike. Just missed it.
Well, it came down. Both games came down to special teams, and it was a play here, a play there. You can't blame it on one play. I mean, it would even came down to that if something else would have happened. But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you know, it was four great organizations, four great teams. Everybody really put out. They played hard. I think everybody who watched those games really enjoyed them. I think it's good for the National Football League, and the two are going to move on, and one's going to end up being champion. That's just the way it is. I mean, that's the reality of the game. I mean, they remember you, but they remember you a lot better if you win.
I'll tell you, though, you do have two teams that could just one play, either game. One play one way or another, and you've got a different winner. That's how close those games were.
Yeah.
And it was fun to watch. You know, it just does seem like Eli Manning has no fear. I mean, the guy just keeps coming. I didn't think Alex Smith finished the game against them like he did against us, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
He did not have a good last couple of series.
He threw two touchdown passes, and you know, anyway, the thing is, you know, he's up against a little better defense. I mean,
boy, you got that right.
The 49ers sacked him six times. I mean, he hung in and threw the ball 58 times. Come on, I mean, that's very un-Giant-like, but it did. They knew, too, they weren't going to make a living running the football against the 49ers defense. It wasn't going to happen. So, you know, they did what they had to do. And I said earlier on the show that I thought the way they're going to attack them is attack the safeties in the middle of the field with Cruz and those guys. And basically, they did that. They took advantage of those guys in the middle of the field and the way they covered. And not that they're bad coverage guys. They aren't. But, I mean, they aren't as good as Cruz. They aren't as good as Manningham. They're not as good as Ballard. I mean, it's just what it is. I mean, when you've got guys like that and you get time to throw it and you got Eli throwing it, it's pretty good. I think Eli's answered a lot of questions, too. I don't think he's anybody's little brother anymore.
I tell you, though, Mike and Johnny, you take a look at the two botched punts and the one that had an incredible replay look of touching the knee of the guy. I mean, unbelievable. Two of those, that doesn't happen. I don't know if the Giants win.
No,
well,
those are big plays.
I agree with you. He lost his confidence back there. The game, the one ball should have never hit the ground. I mean, he hit the ground, and he's got to catch that football. Got a fair catch. I mean, he wasn't their normal punt returner. Teddy Ginn was. Teddy Ginn was hurt. So, I mean, you know, he returned 38 out of 42 punts this year. So, where was this kid? I mean, and he didn't, you know, listen, guys, I don't know if you've ever caught a punt. Come on. You catch a punt just with nobody coming downfield at you. Just go ahead and let guys punt it and try to run under and catch it. Try to judge it. It's tremendously hard.
Yeah.
So you know what? I've always said that a punt return was the hardest thing to do in the world of sports because it's hard to see the ball, follow it. Then you got to catch it. Now you got 11 guys that basically want to kill you coming as hard as they can. And you know that if you screw it up, you could lose the football game. And so it's a tough thing to do, and I never liked it, Mike. So nobody trusted me back there anyway.
What you said is true, and I think actually after you screw up one, I think the negative thoughts start racing through your head. You know? And I think that's what happened to this kid.
Yeah.
I did think that both the Harbaugh coaches, who what a great job they did, but I did think they did have such good success with the run that I thought, especially with Flacco, that he may have gotten a little bit out of that rhythm. In this game, in this modern game, you have to have that mental and physical rhythm going. And I thought they ran a few too many times, and Joe played a great game, and at the very end he missed a pass or two. But I don't have any real comments other than great games. But I thought maybe they should have kept a pass or two mixed in for both quarterbacks to keep that part of the game going, even though they were running well, because they need that confidence to continually build. But I'll tell you,
Purdue the perfect pass to Lee Hammond. I mean, John, guy has the ball. You know, he should have been reviewed.
I guess you're right. That guy should have caught that ball.
It looks to me very close to both feet were down. He had possession. The ball was stripped out. Now the rules of football are very simple. If you have possession with both feet down the end zone, no matter what happens, it's a touchdown. So I don't know if it was or not, but you know, they could have taken more time reviewing that, but it wasn't. But Flacco threw the ball perfectly.
Yeah. Come on, yeah. You know, Steve, I don't know if you know what he's talking about,
I thought it was a catch.
Too.
You're talking Flacco.
I don't know what you have to do as a receiver anymore because, you know, they've got to change that rule to at least make it consistent, because the running back reaches the tip of the ball over the pylon and goes flying, and they'll give him a touchdown. The receiver catches it just like he did. He had the ball. Then the guy knocked it out of his hands, and they won't give it to him. So
what they said, John, is they didn't have both feet down. And I looked at the replay a couple of times, and it looked to me like he did have both feet down. And you know, it was a bang bang play. I mean, what are you going to say? You know, you could have called it either way. I don't think he would have been wrong either way. But you know, as it is, they called it in the other way. So you know, when you look at this game, you can come down and you can point to a lot of things, little things here and there. And it's not one play that causes it. It's a combination of little things. Both of these games were decided on special teams plays. And that's pretty amazing, because we all talk about our offense and defense. It was special teams, guys.
No.
It was special teams that decided the game.
All right, Super Bowl set up for February 5th, a week from Sunday. It's the Giants and New England. New England has been installed as a 3-point favorite. I mean, early on, I have no idea who's going to win that game. I take the Giants at this point.
Well, yeah, you know, the Giants are on a roll right now. I was impressed. I think their secondary has got so much better than it was 7 weeks ago. I think that's a big thing. We know what they can do with their front four. They've got some good receivers, guys. Those are pretty good receivers. Manningham and Hicks and Knicks, rather.
Cruz.
Cruz.
Outstanding. Good to balance, good tight end. And the other kid stepped up the other day, made a touchdown catch. So, I mean, and, you know, the Giants still, they've got a two-headed running back, although they did run it. They threw it 58 times, man.
Well, I got to tell you, the Saints threw it 62 because of the same reason. There's not anything else we could do. I mean, we're going anywhere.
They're not going to make a living running the football against that 49er defense. That's a great football team.
Yeah.
You'll get them back. I mean, these two Harbaugh boys ought to be commended and congratulated, and the organizations also, that they built two wonderful football teams. I know in Baltimore they say the window's closing, you know, the guys are getting older, but you know, then again, they had it right there. Flacco threw
it. Well, Stevie, I think it's Eli's got he's got their number. I don't know what it is about Tom Coughlin and Eli, but boy, I tell you what, if they get in, you better look out.
Now, it's going to be a heck of a Super Bowl. 7:43, it's Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, Mondays and Fridays, 7:38 here. 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM. Okay, news at Penn State yesterday.
I'm really upset today. It's unbelievable that, like, it happened so fast. I wasn't expecting it.
It's tough. I mean, he did a lot to the university and stuff, and he's a great guy. Morally sound. It's a shame to go out this way, and he's a big loss.
Terrible his legacy was ruined by Sandusky, but hey, we're feeling bad for him. Saying prayers for his family. Hopefully his legacy will continue to go on strong.
All right, that's Joe Paterno. Passes away at the age of 85 yesterday. Mike, you knew Joe Paterno.
Well, Joe recruited me in high school, and he was very, you know, my family loved him, and I loved him, and, you know, over the years, he was a friend, and he, you know, but here's the thing, guys, you know, I really think, you know, this thing is not even shaken out yet on Sandusky, and I think it's just such a tragedy to jump to conclusions the way the university did, make the decisions they made as rapidly as they made them. And I think a lot of it came down to the fact that they really wanted Joe to retire. They wanted him to retire a couple of years ago, and he said no. Well, he had the power at that time to say no, but when he became vulnerable in this situation, which I'll be honest with you, when you're 83 or 85 years old, and all of a sudden, you know, something like this happened, this is probably something in his whole mind, in his whole lifetime, that he never thought of. But he never thought that this kind of act could happen. So when it came to him, you know, he passed it on to somebody else, you know, because he probably didn't know how to handle it. Now, is that right or wrong? But for all these people who have come out and chastised him and blamed him, I really don't understand it. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't hide anything. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't perpetuate anything. I mean, it just he passed it on to the next guy in authority, and it wasn't stopped. I don't know. But, I mean, the culprit in this whole thing is Sandusky. And this
hasn't
even been proven guilty yet.
When you're 85 years old, and you're a good man, I think that's the kind of thing that'll... I'm not surprised he got sick. I'm really not surprised he passed away. I mean, he probably was just pretty much devastated. I'm sure it's tough at that age to go... Well, it's tough at any age to go through something like that. And I guess Stevie was he 85?
Yeah, 85.
No, 83. He was 83. I was 17 years old when he recruited me. He was 30.
Well, there you go, Stevie.
All right. Yeah. Well, there were media reports 85. In any event, he...
No, you're right. He was 85. He was 13 years older than me.
Okay. Well,
dang it, Mike. We're older than we thought. Doggone.
Well, it's a shame. It certainly is a shame because I don't think anybody disputes that he was a good man. It just...
No, he wasn't a good man. He was a great man. And he had... He had every quality you want. He had character. He had he had humility. He had everything. He had leadership. You can question his decision making, but he made a decision, and he passed it up to the next guy, which he thought that was his responsibility. Now, I listen to all these critics, and even if you're a critic, though, what would you have done if you saw that situation happen with Sandusky in the shop? What would you individually have done?
Well, you envision just stopping him.
Well, what would you have done?
You go in there and you beat the guy up, I guess.
I agree with you. That's what I would have done. How many people really would have done that? I would have confronted Sandusky at that point. I mean, the assistant coach at that point, it could have been stopped right there because it should have been a big fuss. There should have been a fist fight. There should have been a problem if that's what really happened. And I'm sure that's what happened. But I think, you know, to me, to people, anybody who had seen this, not to do something more than say, okay, I saw something happen.
Right.
Stop it.
Right.
Stop it. You didn't see. Come on. I stopped something that was happening in the shower. You can say that. I stopped something by getting in the fight with this guy, even though he might have whipped my butt, but I would have got a fight with him.
Yeah. All right, it's Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, 747 in Champaign-Urbana, 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM. Mike Ditka brought to you by Tim Mooney Ford in Tuscola. Tim Mooney Ford in Tuscola. Unbelievable Saturday in politics.
Joe's like a member.
Unbelievable politics happened on Saturday in South Carolina, and here is the man of the hour.
I think my job in Florida is to convince people that I am the one candidate who can clearly defeat Obama in a series of debates, and the one candidate who has big enough solutions that they would really get America back on track. We're a big country, we have big problems, and we need big solutions.
They're going to come after Newt Gingrich, no question. Here they come.
It's about great, bold movements and ideas. Well, what's he been doing for 15 years? He's been working as a lobbyist. Yeah, he's been working as a lobbyist and selling influence around Washington. He's been working for Freddie Mac. Heard of those guys? He actually resigned after 4 years in disgrace. He was investigated under an ethics panel and had to make a payment associated with that.
All right, there you go. Mitt Romney, Newt Gingrich, Johnny. It was a 41-27 win, South Carolina on Saturday.
Well, they had, you know, to me, that was a case that the story about his ex-wife that ABC aired on Thursday was such a just a staggeringly blatant attempt to attack new and manipulate the voters. I thought that was going to backfire, and I think it did, Steve. I think 10% came from the South Carolinians voting for Newt because ABC didn't want them to vote for Newt in their mind. And so that was a big boost for him. It turned, and the way he attacked or actually stood up to John King on the in the debate when he asked about that issue, I think just standing up to the media at this point got him that bump. You know, he's very entertaining, very smart, Mike. I think he's got some kind of, I guess, unpredictability to him, and you feel a little bit better if you want to beat Barack Obama. Maybe Mitt Romney's a little more steady, but it's hard to say, and it's going to be interesting.
I'm going to tell you something, that Mitt Romney's not going to beat Barack Obama. Mitt Romney, I disagree with what he said there. I don't think you attack the other person in your party the way these people are attacking each other on Bain Capital or anything else. If you're running for that office, then you got to understand that you got to say what you're going to do if you get in that office that the guy in that office isn't doing right now. What changes are you going to make to make America better? This derating each other of these candidates to me is sickening. It really is. I mean, because we all have chinks in our armor. You want to find something about somebody, you can find something about somebody. I admired Newt so much for what he did to that reporter, because that reporter, you know, it's so typical of the media to dig up the dirt, pull out the crap. And then, you know, hey, listen, I saw the woman. I can understand Newt. I'm sorry.
Well, I didn't get to see that interview.
I can understand.
So, Steve,
yeah.
I think that I have to agree with Mike that this idea that Romney is going to beat Barack Obama, I'm not sure I'm on that page, because he doesn't fire anybody up. Now, Newt does have issues, but I don't know. You say they're going to attack Newt, but, boy, what else can they throw at him? I don't know if they got anything left.
Exactly. They'll throw everything at him, John. You're right. They'll come up with something. That's fine. They'll rehash the Freddie Mac. They'll rehash this. It was a lot. So what? So what? At least the guy has been in a position of leadership to some capacity as a leader, House of Representatives. But I'm just telling, we have people in office who have never led anything, never ran anything, never owned anything, and they're there. And they're running the greatest country on earth. Time out. I mean, come on. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying, hey, listen. If it's a level playing field, let it be a level playing field, and let's see how it works out. And I think he relishes the opportunity to debate anybody. I think he would debate Abe Lincoln. I mean,
About Gingrich. He would debate anything, and I like Gingrich's command of really the facts, and also that he knows so much about how all this really works. He can really rebut Obama and explain what he thinks has gone wrong and why this didn't work and why that wouldn't work. And he knows more of the inside story about a lot of the things that they'll be debating about over the first term of Obama. So I think he'll be very effective.
Well, the overwhelming reason they voted for him in South Carolina, the number one reason South Carolina said we're voting for him, they thought he could beat Obama is the number one reason he could beat Obama.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of, you know, I just know that, to me, you got to take a guy, and I've got nothing against Mitt Romney, except that I just don't think he's tough enough to do that in a situation where he has to stand up in a debate and get the job done. I don't think he can. I really, the thing is, this administration is still blaming the former administration for what's going on. I mean, they've been there 4 years, guys. Come on, stop it.
No, I think you're right. I think that...
4 years. When can you dig yourself out? 8? 12?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, help me
general...
out.
The general strategy is, well, it was really bad when we got here. That's why we haven't done as well as we thought. And that's
a tough sale. It's a lot worse now that we're here.
Well, yeah, exactly. It would have been worse had we not done anything. Of course, David Axelrod, who's running the Obama re-election campaign from Chicago, said about Newt about 3 weeks ago, the higher the monkey climbs a pole, the more you can see his butt. That's what David Axelrod said about Newt. So there's going to be just gobs of things on the ethics probe and all these other, but that's going to be a 99% and 1% if it's Mitt. It's going to be negative no matter what.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, but absolutely.
They throw so much out there that...
But here's the thing. You know, the administration, the president administration, they have a record to stand on right now. It's not very good. Guys, it's not very good.
You know, you the problem Newt had... You know, Mike, the problem that I think Obama has with Newt Gingrich is that people expect all kinds of things to come out about him. They've heard a lot about it. They're still voting for him from the Republican side.
Absolutely.
And I think that it's going to have a lesser effect than they want. And when they have to start defending what the president's done in 4 years, it's going to be very difficult with Newt Gingrich calling them down the line on the points they try to make.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure who they really want, Steve. You know, that story on Newt Thursday was so grotesquely stupid for the opposition if they really didn't want Newt to get a bump. You just got to wonder if they secretly wouldn't rather have Newt Gingrich versus Mitt Romney. I don't know which one they would rather have. They say they'd rather have Newt. He'd be easier to beat. Not sure that that's correct.
No, I don't think that's true. But, you know, and that's why they're going to say that. But, you know, if that's what they feel... And they seem to be attacking him a heck of a lot more. But I'm just saying one thing. But let's see how it all plays out. I mean, you know, none of us are experts about this. But, I mean, to me, I'm not sure the one man that gets into the office can change a lot of things until you get the people, the other people, senators and the representatives, to get on board and figure out what the hell is best for our country. I mean, it's not about the president. It's not about one individual. It's about a lot of people. I mean, I know you got the power of the veto. You got this or that. But still, you know, we got to get a lot of our politicians got to get their head out of their rear ends and start
I'll tell
doing
you
what's
too.
Best for
and,
our country instead of what's best for our party or what's best for our state or what's best for this or the area they represent. And that bothers me. It really does.
Let me end with this, and this is putting country first in my opinion, but a very inspiring story about Congresswoman Gabby Giffords, who yesterday
Arizona
said this.
Arizona is my home. Always will be. A lot has happened over.
She has decided to step down from Congress as of today, but a story of courage, a woman who had part of her head shot off a year ago, is able to make this announcement. A lot of courage, Mike and Johnny, with Gabby Giffords, who says, I need to spend more time on recovering.
Well, yeah, I just saw that come over the thing last night, and a great, courageous woman. I mean, didn't deserve to be in the situation she's in, but she's there. Do I think she made the right decision right now? Probably. She probably did for health reasons. And I don't know.
Yeah, I can't. Can you imagine the energy, you know, it takes to keep going, especially
Absolutely.
When you're wounded like that. And she was able to you know, really get a good start on it. I can understand the energy level that you have to be in Congress, and she wants to get better. But, yeah, Steve, that's a story about a good person, a good woman, and what a shame. But we're all behind her, and I'm hoping she makes a great recovery.
No question. All right, Johnny, Mike, always a pleasure. We'll talk on Friday. Thank you, as always a pleasure.
All right,
thank
guys.
You. All right, guys. See you later.
All right, Brother Johnny in Houston, Mike Ditka in Naples, Florida this morning. 93.5, 95.3 Connect FN. Again, brought to you by VersaBar and by Tim Mooney Ford in Tuscola.